Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
We're on the cover of the Radio Times.
We are on the front cover of the Radio Times. Do you know what? It's really lovely because we've done loads of things together for press and things like that, but we've never had a cover, me and Mum, and to be on something together that is so embedded in Britain and...
It's a thing. It's a thing.
Also, we've had a few episodes out. We've only just getting started. It's a podcast special and we've been asked to do the cover. So that feels like a really big moment of validation and big ups and niceness. So yes. Thank you. We've got Ed Gamble coming over today, who is a comedian and also a judge on Great British Menu with Mum. I did his podcast with James Acaster off Menu and I was like, oh, these guys are funny. Like, it was actual fun and they made me laugh like uncontrollably for a good 2 hours. So I feel like it's only right we do the same for him. He showed me a really good time. I want to show him a good time.
I first met Ed because he was a judge. He was a guest judge.
Guest judge.
On Great British Menu. And are you honestly, rarely seen a guest judge that excited about the fact they were about to spend all day eating food. He loves food so much, like his dearest love is food. That and his wife.
Today's drink is a gin sour with a lemon thyme that I've picked from Moon Bar, my balcony. And here's a nice little bit of bitters, a little bit of sugar syrup that Deli's made up for me. We need some nice little glasses.
I've got some nice little glasses.
Okay. We want it to be like white and then the white foam. And then we're going to dress it with the lemon thyme, which has little kind of lilac flowers on it. So it'll be sharp, citrusy, and then hopefully a little bit sweet.
I'm still worried because the full moon's tomorrow.
So. It hasn't been bathed in the food, but full moon, that's going to taste like shit,
yes,
isn't it?
It has. It has been bathed in the full moon, so it's had all
the
last 4 days. So what are you chatting about?
Because it's not full moon yet. Stout braised oxtail, and then we've got a pumpkin and gunga pea seasoned rice, which is seasoned rice with coconut. It's rice with coconut and gunga peas, which are the little brown pigeon peas, and roasted pumpkin running through it. And then a lemony, sort of just citrus salad, just to kind of counterbalance, and some fried plantain. And we're doing an extra thing today. Your face is hilarious, Tayo. As I'm speaking about food, he can barely contain himself. I wish right now you could just see his face. That's all I want you to say. It's just like, oh my god. And then we're making saltfish fritters to my late mother-in-law Lynette Smith's recipe, because today is her birthday. So the whole episode today is dedicated to darling Lynette.
Happy would have been 85th birthday, yeah, to Lynette, a wonderful woman who we miss very much.
Yeah, we loved her. So fritters it is. I wanted you to have a really Caribbean, perfect, proper Caribbean food. And then, of course, these fritters that are here in front of me.
Yeah, and I feel like when Mum decides what she's going to cook for people, she really does think about, like, who they are, what they need. And I didn't know about that, you liking kind of big pot, slow roasted, yeah, slow cooked. Is that from, because we did talk about your mum cooking, and we talked about swapping mums, mm-hmm, for a little bit.
What? When was this?
Just went for a drink and discussed it. No, when I was on the podcast.
And oh,
Ed's mum, what's your mum's name?
Anne.
Lovely Anne. Oh, you must have experienced her food. She's very pie,
oh,
bangers
she?
And mash.
Do a lot
crumble
of, like, yeah, really good. Oh,
really good.
Oh.
Really good. Like, I mean, that's the mother-in-law
you want. Good, like, homeschool, home.
And then also very
very Delia based, I'd say. Oh. Really grew up in a Delia household, right. Which was fantastic.
So what about when you were first dating? Did you go on actual dinner dates? Because it's quite, you kind of want to hold back on a date, or did Ed show you his colours quite soon?
No, because I was like bigger then as well. So
this is
going to
sound
more
cruel.
Oh, thank you.
But I'd say both of us were more focused on quantity than quality, right. To perhaps the same degree that we were now. Wow. So you just ate and drank like
a lot.
But what I found out much further down the line of us going out is that Charlie doesn't drink as much as me, or certainly at the time, and all she was doing on the dates was trying to keep up with my drinking. So she would end every date just like, absolutely.
Okay, thank you for having me. It was really great. I realised after 3 years I don't actually like you. You've just been hammered the whole time.
So grumpy. Who are you?
Charlie, Ed, welcome to our home.
Oh, thank you so
much. Thank you for having us.
Cheers.
How, did it taste magic-y and moony?
It did. Sorry, you moony. Can really taste the moonbeam. Thank you.
Perfect.
Charlie
word.
Meant that. Thank you.
So, Ed, you just said you used to be a lot bigger.
Yeah.
How much bigger? You lost quite a lot of weight, haven't you?
I probably hit a peak of like probably 19 and a half stone.
That's big.
I'd say, big boy.
How do you get rid of it?
Just started exercising, really.
See, I hate guys.
Yeah.
Guys say stuff like that to you. Like, oh, I just cut out beer a little bit. Just went to the gym a couple of times and just kind of fell off. No, I don't even know what happened. Me and Garvin went to Weight Watchers once. I lost about 0.5 pounds and he was like, bam, 2 stone. Yeah. So I was like, how the hell did that happen? And he literally, we were doing exactly the same thing. In fact, I was exercising more and I was just getting more frustrated. He was going, hey, look at my shirt. It looks incredible. I mean, what the hell is that?
I definitely cut down on what I was eating as well. I changed a lot of my lifestyle, basically, but for good rather than just doing like a mad
sort of
diet.
And what do you think that was? Like eating loads of crap late at night?
Yeah. All of that. Too much beer, all of that, and not doing any exercise.
So fancy wine. You changed beer to fancy wine.
That's more recent. Yeah. I probably didn't drink for a bit. I probably cut out booze for like a year. Yeah.
That's how I lost weight. I was like, oh shit, it does work.
Yeah, it really does.
It's quite nice though that no drink. But did you always drink, like, I mean, you sound like you were drinking copious amounts of alcohol in your youth and all the rest of it. And it, I mean, I was like that, you know, from quite a young age, an illegally young age, obviously. like siphoning wine out of a big bottle in my mum's kitchen. Took them ages to work it out. And then when they went to open, it was just water because we'd been taking wine out the bottom for about 2 years. It was just a giant bottle.
It's amazing that you never think about them finding out. You're like, we just need this now.
And they were like, where's the wine? We were like, shit. It's like, leg it. But I think for my generation, for sure, we just used to drink a lot all the time. Never even thought about it.
I just drink pints.
When you don't, it really is a whole new brave new world, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I did enjoy it. And actually, recently, I've not been drinking a lot recently as well. And then you wake up in the morning, you're like, oh, I feel great. And you're like, oh, no. Turns out I was feeling a bit fuzzy and depressed all the time because I've just been having like 2 drinks now. Two drinks can do it to me now.
All right, so new cutlery for another course. Fancy.
Oh, I would like the chef to serve me. Okay. Please,
does that happen on Great British Men? You're sort of ruined by the fanciness of it and you...
No, because like sometimes like the whole thing of the dish, the chef will bring the dish in and it's like a big thing and then we have to serve ourselves.
Yes.
And then when the producer's like, Ed, you're going to be doing this one, I'm like, oh no, because I've got Tom and Nisha looking at me trying to cut a pie and I end up just like piling it onto that plate.
When you said that, I pictured the pie. That's exactly
you.
What I pictured.
Yeah, it was the pie.
I just had a salad, my darling.
Well, and there was a dish in the first series we all did together as judges where there was like a live fire barbecue situation where we had to put them on the fire and I think we burnt something. And Tom's just sat there like, I can't believe this.
That was a very good impression.
Is it a role doing something that you ever thought, I mean, was it even close to something you thought you'd ever do?
No, God no.
A cooking show?
No, not at all. Because also it's quite a sort of, it's not really a comedy job because you sort of feel comfortable and part of the establishment doing that show, I think. And it doesn't feel like you're rebelling against anything or being mean and naughty. But I think I've found a way of doing it. So
does comedy make you feel like that? judgment.
Yeah, I think that's what it's always been. It should always have that feeling that you can never be part of the establishment because you always need to be the person outside it making fun of it.
Unless you're rubbish.
Unless you, yeah. But now, you know, I've got my feet under the table, so it's.
Do you feel like that?
No, I don't. No, I think I've just found a way of doing Great British Menu in particular that means I can have a bit of a laugh. And
is it quite a nice counterbalance to what you normally do then?
Yeah. I mean, I get ferried into Stratford-upon-Avon and get to eat amazing food. And also, it's not like any other cooking show. But also, there's that thing of people go, oh, what's the best thing you've ever eaten? And that's an easy thing to say on Great British Menu. You just, like, there's loads of things you could pick from.
Yeah.
But then they're like, has there been some really bad stuff? You're like, no, because these are, like, the best chefs in the country.
Well, I'm going to counter you there. And the very first thing I ever had on Great British Menu, I thought my mates were hiding behind a curtain taking this. I don't really like raw tomatoes, mm-hmm. and I'm not a big fan of, like, soft goat's cheese. There was a giant tomato, hollowed out, filled with soft goat's cheese. That was the first thing I had, and I gave it a 3.
Oh, wow.
And Oliver Pateman went, "Oh, the new girl's harsh." And I was like...
Did you say it's because I don't like tomato?
No,
I don't like goat's
I said because there's no skill involved hollowing out a tomato, and they haven't done anything to tomato, and then it's just they've just filled it with soft goat's cheese. So
I do think...
No, but also, there are times you have to eat things that aren't your favourite thing, but you still have to be able to evaluate it
and
work out
skill,
whether it should be on the dish or whether it's working within the construct of the whole plate.
I'm yet to find anything that I'm like, oh, I don't like that thing.
No, I've noticed that.
Well, I was going to say, as a judge, I guess you have to be able to eat most things. You can't really be a vegetarian judge.
No.
We have vegetarian guest judges come in now and again.
They're irritating.
It's fine. They're fine about it.
And then, well, I'm fine about it, but all I can only imagine what's being said in the kitchen. There must be like a cutting reel, like the cutting room floor of that. Must be an episode we can put together of just chefs swearing about guest judges.
Swearing vegetarians.
No, do you know what?
We got vegetarians who like mushrooms. we have had that. Yeah.
What did you think about? What do you think about him doing this?
Yeah,
Charlie.
I'm going to sound like him. I told you so. I always said you should just be really noisy about the things that you're enthusiastic about, right? And you love food.
Yeah.
And I feel like once you started going, I really like this, then it kind of made of you kind of, that was your sort of, people were like, oh, he's interested, great. And then you started kind of getting into those spaces.
Right.
Charlie works in television production, so she knows more about my career before I do it than me, basically.
Yeah. No, I really wanted to talk to you about that. TV, because obviously I've been in TV since I was 15. How long have you been?
I started day running when I was about 16.
Yeah.
And it's like all I ever wanted to do was that. I worked on entertainment shows when I was at art school and stuff like that. I used to like miss lectures to do Dancing on Ice and things like that. Yeah, and yeah, I sometimes worry I'm not good for anything else because it's like all I've ever wanted to do.
Yeah,
all I've ever had a real knack for.
When you
know,
you know.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's good to have a path that you want to follow.
Oh, for sure.
Most people find it really hard to work
Definitely.
It out.
And it is that thing where you kind of take stock. I guess we're all in this situation, right, where you go, I really like what I do. That's a real privilege.
100%. Yeah. I genuinely, when I was in my early 20s, I was so pissed off that this big old opportunity had found me. It's like, really missing the pub and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, oh my God, I'm so lucky. Because all those people that were partying and messing around being young, then at 26 went, oh shit, what am I going to do? And I was like, oh good, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, I think there's like a real validity to those experiences as well. And definitely, I think that like there are the sad years maybe that you felt as well of like the sacrifice bit at the beginning that really does is hard.
What, when you've got nothing and you're working
really hard
the whole time?
And trying to explain it to people who go, so you're, you know, doing this for what, 19 hours a day and you make what, 8 quid?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
And you have no friends. Okay, this seems really
And
sensitive.
No social life. You haven't paid yourself for 3 years. That's what I had when
it's
the conversations I'd have when I started doing stand-up were hilarious with family where they're like, so where are you going this weekend? It was like, well, I'm driving to Cardiff and back, and then tomorrow night I'm going to Manchester and back. They'd be like, so what are you making on that? I went, well, I'm enough to cover the petrol. So the weekend wipes its face, which is great.
That's actually a bit of a result. You're not paying to
that's
do the
thing exactly.
that you love to do.
But then you do the Edinburgh Fringe when no one knows who you are and you lose 10 grand.
Wow.
Yeah, it's mad.
Did
and it's
that
even
happen
worse
to you?
Now. Yeah, yeah, like 5 years in a row.
Holy smoke. And you kept going back.
Yeah.
How do you lose the money?
Well,
how much it's cost to be there?
Accommodation, venues take a massive cut. You have to pay for advertising, PR, all of that. So it's almost impossible to make money there as a new comedian. And now, I'm not going to go on a rant about it, but now the accommodation is so much more expensive. Yeah, right. And they basically cut it. It's certain comedians who can go and do it, as in people who've got money already.
Yeah.
And audiences can't even get... Audiences can't
right,
get
and it completely changes the kind of opportunity that it was for certain.
And it changes the reaction.
I'm going tomorrow
get.
For a couple of weeks. Oh,
so hooray for Edinburgh.
I'm staying in a hotel. Cheers.
They put me up somewhere quite nice. Yeah, but you did your time. Mm. If you've done your time, you're allowed to then be fancy.
Exactly. Absolutely. I did my time. I'm allowed to go up there and take ticket sales away from you.
That's right. No. No, she's tried really hard to get it back for you. But yeah, you're right. Isn't that what those things are kind of for? Like to be able to try for new people to
Definitely.
Get an audience. That's how those. That was the genesis of all festivals. And
to get better and learn how to be a comedian. Then it turned into probably around the time I started doing it, your show needed to be ready because it turned into an industry showcase.
Right. Because before you'd go out there with new stuff and work.
You'd get ready and then you come back and do the show in London and then people could see the show. Yeah. But now it's like, everyone's up there, industry's up there, reviewers are up there, and you've got to. Yeah.
Also, social media, how does that affect it all? Should you have like everything ready in that sense as well?
Yeah, I mean, good word of mouth on social media is important.
I think it's changed how newcomers like develop as well.
Oh, massively.
There's people now who skip out like a whole bit of gigging and just do good sketches or something on TikTok.
This is what I'm thinking. Does it eradicate the kind of old schoolness of like the slog, the tour, the hustle?
I think it's still a slog and a hustle. It's just a different kind of shape, a different pattern.
But what
miserable
pushed
time.
You onto the state? I mean, me and Makita were talking about this before you got here, because to both of us, the idea, I mean, and you know, I've been performing in some way, shape or form since I was about 17, really, and she's been on telly since she was 15. Still neither of us would do stand-up. Like, the idea of having to...
Yeah.
Be funny when you get onto the stage. I can make people laugh by accident.
If I hadn't done it up until the age I am now, I absolutely wouldn't do it. It's almost certainly with all comedians, most comedians start young because it's the arrogance of youth, I think.
Right.
And just being completely blasé to embarrassment and
right, just like whatever.
Yeah. Also, like, I'll give that a go. Also, I started at university really. And it feels like a really safe environment where you can just...
And you do things in groups, you know, you have people around you, so there's somebody else to kind of...
And I've always done that. Yeah. Like, I like collaborating with people and I like making things with people together. So.
Oh, that's safer.
Yeah, that feels safer, right? Because if you're making each other laugh, then there might be someone else out there who agrees.
Yeah, somebody else to bounce off.
Yeah.
But as the spouse, because I was, in a way, Simon Amstel's spouse for 5 years.
Makita, I've got some terrible news for you.
It's going to be a real shocker. And I hated going to see him because I was just worried that other people wouldn't laugh. I was worried that I would have to fake laugh. Every time it's been fine, sorry, more than fine, absolutely hilarious, brilliant. But I still feel the stress. And I love watching Simon on TV because I just feel like, I don't know, maybe it's just the environment I know more. But for you watching, how is that?
I'm pretty zen. Now I'm quite zen about it because I've been in those spaces for quite a long time.
I'm most nervous when I'm building up a show and doing new stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Charlie won't come to any of that.
Yeah.
But it's tricky because I think there's two ways I can give you feedback. One is very good, dear. Oh, so special.
You've never said very good, dear.
No, I'm
my favorite. That was good, though. All so special. I bet that's good. So completely uncommitted. Special little guy.
I can give you that version, or I, you know, the unconditional just yes, which obviously I'll always give you. Or I can do the kind of annoying, like, oh, yeah, man, I thought it was really good. Anyway, let's change this sort of like slightly dicky work vibe, which I don't think you want. And it's sometimes hard to exist in those spaces. And go, which one do you want?
Yeah, but you'll also just hang out and wait for the glory gigs.
Oh, yeah.
Wait until
I'll wait for
like
the really good ones and then just stand there with two bottles of champagne. I somehow helped.
Yeah.
In a way, this is my success.
Nice. Slide it at the end for that. That's interesting to hear you say that. Have you heard Charlie say that before? Say she doesn't know which one to give you.
Yeah, I mean, but you are good at feedback.
Yeah, but sometimes you go, just say it's really nice. And I go, absolutely.
If I've not enjoyed it, sometimes I'm like, just Please just say it's
yeah,
good.
Yeah, yeah. Just give me a hug.
That's all I want. Because I know it's bad.
And I've never had to bite my... I've never gone, I'm lying to you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is a night. Like, it's just, like, thank God you're good.
Yeah, no, well, that's the thing. Yeah. Don't marry a shit comedian.
Well, we started dating before I saw you do stand-up. Mm-hmm. I knew vaguely, like, I knew what you did. But I remember being... Was it Green Man? It was Green Man,
Green Festival.
It was the first time I saw him. So I'm in a field, like, covered in mud. And going, oh, don't be shit.
Yeah. Please don't be shit.
Yeah, because you were with your friends as well.
Yeah, and we've been and going out all, long enough that I had coming. Skin in the game at that point. Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't just ghost you. You
couldn't just walk away and pretend you'd never met
you. Yeah.
Sorry, 2 weeks and you'd be like, sorry, my mistake.
Yeah.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Not know that you're Trinidadian.
Well, yeah, so my family are all from Barbados. My mum was born in Trinidad, grew up in Trinidad. So my granddad is from Guyana. He met my gran in Barbados and took her there.
We only went 2 years ago for the show.
I know, it was so good.
Oh,
it was so good.
Thank you.
Me and my mum were texting for like a week.
Oh, wow. So,
she loved it.
But you know that island proper. That's so cool.
It's a complicated place.
It is, and it's a complicated sort of thing to quantify in your head sometimes. And sometimes... Like, interesting, I think the only kind of real connection I have through things is kind of food and things like that. Because you go out, I mean, you've had to sit through horrific picnics.
Where you're like, lovely picnics.
Well, yeah, but you were vegan at the time.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And it's just a complete...
But I can have ham in Barbados.
Apparently.
That's what they decided.
Endless, clueless relatives going, he can't eat the fish. There's ham in the van.
Yeah. But yeah, so when you said saltfish, I was like, yeah, you've absolutely
nailed it.
That's
like a full kid.
Charlie's mum has gone to Barbados and then flown back with frozen saltfish in a suitcase. Yeah, it's funny being told like, oh, we're going to Barbados. I'm like, imagining this, you know, luxury holiday in Barbados. And it was very much going around to family picnics and then one day having to give Charlie's auntie a leg up over a church wall to get into the family graveyard because the church was shut. And I was like, this isn't exactly what I was imagining from a trip to Barbados.
And the car's like really full and Ed's going, where are we going? Because we're all getting in the car, loads of like cellophane flowers and things like
that.
Yeah,
I've got swimming trunks on. Yeah. Like, here we go.
Yeah, like party time. Yeah. Like, no, no.
Oh, cut to, I'm laying my rubber ring at the graveyard. Yeah.
You were expecting a sandals result.
Yeah.
Well,
I didn't expect that, but you're Bajan.
No, not at all.
Well, I feel in a way like I'm not, because I
Bajan
was...
Bajan heritage.
Yeah, but it's like a really nice... It's always really interesting in lots of ways to learn more about, and I really miss my grandparents and things like that. So it's kind of a nice way to sort of feel part. And I love hearing my mum talk about her childhood.
I cannot believe we made saltfish fritters.
Like, it was literally... I saw it, and I was like, that's a shape I like.
I know that shape! Makita taught me. So Makita did a wine podcast.
Yes, I was on it.
Do you know what, Ed? We have such history. Mm. You've got like podcast chat.
All podcast.
Today, no. Obviously, he beat me at House of Games. Oh. Richard Osman's House of
you
Games.
You weren't and even in the competition. I don't even consider.
As I said,
I was like,
Mom.
Oh, yeah, Makita was the lady sat next to me. Shame she wasn't allowed to join in.
You are so grotesquely competitive with these
things. No, but I should have... He's right. I wasn't on my game. And I was in a weird place, but I'm not anymore. Yeah. So we made you a little general knowledge quiz at the end.
Okay,
of this.
Sure. Yeah.
He will flip the table. It will ruin your day.
All I remember about that day is, so you do it all in one day in Glasgow.
Oh, that's a lot. It's fine.
Yeah, and we got in and we were hanging out in the green room and someone came in with the... laptop and went, does everyone know how the game works? I'm going to show you some of the games in case. And Makita went, yeah, I've seen loads of it. I can't wait for this. And I was like, here we go. Makita's got her eyes on the prize. Then I won the first episode and I just saw Makita's shoulders just slump.
Why do I have to have furious. Some smart ass comedian on my week? I'm sorry, there's always one.
I had Phil Jupiter's.
No, but you were very good.
I wasn't. You beat me.
I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to Ed.
Are you talking to Ed?
You were very good, but you didn't come to fuck around.
No.
I never do.
Whenever I did those quiz things,
very seriously.
Like, oh, no,
the dark side comes out.
Does that transfer to like Christmas board games?
Yes,
me too.
I'm not sure it does.
But yes, it is. You've swept all the pieces off a Trivial Pursuit and went, "This is redundant. We're not doing this anymore."
What? Because he was losing.
Because you said my dad wasn't committing enough.
Can I contextualize?
To your father-in-law.
Can I contextualize what my father-in-law was doing? We were sat in the sitting room. He does not like games.
No, he hates fun.
But he still said he'd play, and then he went and lay on a sofa on the other side of the room. We had to ask him his questions, and he answered pork for every single one.
And my poor mum, because she's going, okay, time to play. Oh, Steve, oh, I'll roll it for you because you don't want to. Oh, you rolled a six. Oh, I think you know history best. 1, 2, 3. Okay, well, I'll read it anyway in case you want to answer.
Okay. Oh my God, I love your dad already.
He's great.
He sounds amazing. So I have a question for you, which does interest me. So when I was doing a radio show on GLR, Great London Radio, and eventually I banned comedians.
Right.
Because they were all so miserable. How come you're not such a shitbag? Here's my question.
I think it's there's a weird generational thing.
Right.
I think my generation of comics are less grumpy, and we're all friends with each other as well. We're not as competitive. I think if you started doing comedy in the 80s and 90s, there were about eight comedians.
Yep.
Like the Edinburgh Festival used to just be like 12 comedians all vying for one award, so they get really competitive. So there's, I think it's a really cooperative scene now, and it feels like a good gang of us.
So is the miserable git comedian a thing of the past?
No, not at all.
No.
Well, because a lot of the guys from the 90s are still alive.
But they're packed up. Everyone's more vulnerable. Like, look at everything that Bob Mortimer's gone through.
Oh, that's true.
And I just think gone fishing is the best thing ever. And
it is a beautiful thing.
I think two men like that haven't shown this side. I just think the vulnerability and the deepness of their friendship. Yeah. Genius TV, I thought.
Yeah.
Very
it's
clever.
Really beautiful, yeah.
Anybody want more anything?
I'm good. Everything is so delicious. Good.
So now, what do you feel like as a married couple in the world? You're young. You're both still young.
And yeah.
Are there like kind of rules of marriage that people feel like they need to follow? Of like, we need to buy a house, we need to have babies, we need to do this.
Oh, yeah, like what you know, like sort of points you're supposed
yes.
to hit.
I don't think so, because even like getting married doesn't feel like a point to hit anymore.
No,
I almost feel quite like old-fashioned that we got married. To be
well,
honest.
You said you always said you didn't want to get married. Yeah. I really did not care.
Yeah.
The way. And then you went all weird. But then we bought a house. And I was like, fair enough, that's a math. And I remember being to you like, but you promise not to leave me because that will be really annoying. And I was like, oh,
admin-wise,
that's
more
annoying
than a marriage.
Oh, there's this thing we can do.
Yeah.
Right.
So we've got married to create legal red tape.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only reason I would get married. Yeah. I like legal stuff.
Oh,
I just can't be bothered.
Mm.
To be fair, I think a house is legally more annoying than dissolving a marriage.
Is it?
I don't know. I'm not planning on something.
No, exactly.
I've done a
hopefully.
Lot of research.
Yeah. So you'd be awful if you're like, well, yes, here's all the steps you have to go through.
I've been looking into it.
Something I wanted to share with you.
That's why I've been doing my late night Googling.
Actually, I know all about it.
How did you propose, Ed?
So we were in Japan. We went on a holiday to Japan. Yeah, pretty good start. I decided to do it maybe. So we went to Japan in the October of 2018. I think I decided to do it in the January or February. Maybe even earlier. So I went. I'd sorted the ring out. Our friend is a jeweler, so I'd spoken to her. We designed the ring, got it all ready, took it with me to Japan, put it in my bag where I keep all of my diabetic medicine, because I thought if I lose that, I'm completely screwed anyway. Yeah. So at least this is the most important thing. So I will look after both of these things. And then first day of the holiday, as soon as I could, I proposed to her. So the ring was her problem for the rest of the day.
It was really unhelpful.
We arrive.
You literally like.
Yeah.
We went,
that park's interesting. It's going to have a look at that park. And I didn't propose then, but we walked around and joint. I was clearly scoping it out. And then we went back to the hotel. And the next morning I went, we should go for a walk in that park again. Anyway, do you want to marry me? Have to keep hold of that. That's your job.
That's yours now, babe. Were you surprised? Did you think it was happening?
Yeah, I mean, I was complaining about, we had breakfast in the park, and I was complaining about having indigestion, and Ed kept being like, oh, maybe you could just stop talking about that. And I'm like, oh, I'm really full from all this bread.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm eating these two pastries.
Well, why don't we look at the view?
Yeah, like, it's not really the atmosphere I'm thinking of.
And then you asked, and I didn't realise you had a ring, so you had to be like, well, look, I got this.
It's a really proper down. Thing, and he thought
yeah,
about it.
Yeah, it was really nice. Aww. It was really, I was very impressed.
Thank
yeah.
you.
It was really...
I'm impressed.
Well done.
Yeah. Yeah,
and we're going back to Japan next year for the yeah. first time since then, so that'll
be really fun.
So did you enjoy Japan?
I loved it. Mm. To be fair, I've been before,
yeah.
and I've got mates out there and things, so I really like it there.
I got followed in Tokyo by an entire, like, coachload of Japanese tourists.
Oh, ones, really?
Because they just thought I was so weird. And it was about 1980, at which point I was wearing quite a lot of flowing robes. And I had... two giant puffball ponytail bunches covered in ribbons and massive shades. I looked round and there were these and they kept running behind the hedge. This wow. bunch of people. And I was like, what is going on? And I looked round again and they were literally, it was like, you know, like when kids play hide and seek.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what they were doing to me right across the park. So I had to go and hide in the back of a hairdresser's to get rid of them. Because they'd never seen anybody yeah. that looked like me. To be honest, nobody did look like me.
The first time I went, I was quite young. I have blonde hair now, but I was, like, very blonde. And all people wanted to do was, like, touch my hair or pat my head or give me little things. And it did... It sort of... I've got a lot of free stuff, so I was sort of like, cool.
Yeah.
But it is a very... It's definitely changed a lot.
I had a great time. I mean, the food was incredible. And yeah. I saw silver, you know, macro, went to the markets and all of that sort of stuff. But musically, it was amazing. And they're incredible. Like, Jamaican culture specifically is huge in Tokyo. Like, sound system culture... In Tokyo, it's massive. Like, they have these brilliant sound systems, like Dubwise mixers, who are like the best. Because in Japanese culture, for some reason, I've got this thing that when Japanese people decide they're going to learn
something,
they're like
hard.
In.
Yeah,
French
like
cooking.
200, yeah. like, they're just on it, and they're better than anybody else who's ever done it.
Patisserie and all of that. Yeah. Like,
And then me and Nana went and tried to buy a pair of shoes and they just laughed at us.
Oh, I know.
Crazy feet. Have you got those shoes in the 7? They went, no!
Yeah. No way Charlie's buying shoes.
When we went into that shop and I touched Aurel and the woman went, too fat. I was just like, fair enough. I mean, you've saved me some time.
I bought the one.
Fair enough. They're so blunt.
Yeah. I bought a denim jacket in Japan. I actually wore it when we arrived today. Ooh. And I've had to roll the sleeves up about 3 or 4 times because... In Japan, they can't imagine a man being that wide without having 3.5 foot long arms.
Yeah. Let's talk about the book.
Oh, yay.
So talking about writing itself, first of all, I mean, did you like writing?
I did. I loved it. I mean, it was... I ended up with... a very specific chunk of time that was long enough, but it was still felt quite intense.
Yeah.
And because it's about me and about food, it felt quite easy to write. All that stuff was in my head. I've been thinking about it for years anyway. So it wasn't like I was having to, you know, really pull it from somewhere deep. It was ready to go.
Yeah.
So I loved it, yeah.
It's a memoir, what is it?
I guess it's technically a memoir, but it's a comedian's memoir in that I've got a topic that I'm writing about, because if I was to sit down and write an actual memoir in my life, it would be fairly tedious.
What was it like writing about, like, the people in your life and sort of that honesty about everything that's happened?
Well, we'll find out when they read
it. Right. Are they okay with it? We'll find out.
Yeah, we will find that out. No, I think it's all fairly lighthearted. There's no sort of big skeletons in the closet. So, but I found as I was writing it that every single thing I wanted to talk about does relate back to food in some way.
Was that a surprise to you?
Not massively, but the regularity with which it happened was a surprise.
Oh, so, here we go again.
Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff in there about losing weight. There's a lot of stuff in there about being diabetic as well, which is obviously so tied into food. And, you know, things about touring. And then there's a lot of very silly things in there as well, like little diversions.
Do you feel different in yourself losing loads of weight?
Like, I don't remember now because it's been long enough.
How long's it been?
So when would it have been? I was probably...
2013?
Yeah.
Oh, that's quite a long time. Yeah.
Did you have to sort of join him? Were you like, oh, I guess we're not drinking, I guess we're exercising?
No, no.
She's always been her own woman.
I'm just sort of quite consistent in my poor self-maintenance. So I just sort of stayed kind of doing the same. I mean, there's certain things, like I would be like, we won't go there, or I won't eat this in front of you, yeah. Or I'm not going to go, why are you not doing that? You know, you tell me something and I'll just go, okay, that's what we're going to do.
Supportive.
Yeah.
Nice.
Supportive.
But do my own... thing. I've never felt like kind of hedged into a health corner.
No.
Yeah, and it's nice. It works really well. Yeah.
I mean, I'm quite impressed. You go to the gym sometimes in the middle of the day.
What, when you're filming?
Yeah.
Yeah, we do that. And we,
him and Tom
finals week, we'll go after a full day and go to the gym.
I mean, finals week is a very specific set of circumstances and it's not a normal thing. Like, no. 8 courses.
Not a full meal of courses either. No, it's 8 starters. Then the next day is 8 mains.
Fish.
Yeah, 8 fish, 8 mains, yeah, and then 8 desserts.
Starters are okay, fish is fine, 8 mains.
Mains day this year, Sir Lenny Henry came in as guest judge and he went for a nap and he was like, I can't have any more venison.
Was it venison?
It was
very venison heavy, but absolute. Very red meat
heavy as it always is. And also, our starter is now vegan, so there was a lot of mushrooms.
Yeah.
A lot of mushrooms.
Yeah. As soon as I saw there was an Indian chef, I was like, thank God. Because he's going to know how to do a vegan starter without using mushrooms.
Yeah, and every chef was like, I thought I'm going to use a mushroom.
So is TV something that you want to do more of, or is it just...
I'd do it if it comes up, really. Mm. I'm sort of never pursuing it actively.
That's quite good, I think.
Yeah, because I love doing live comedy and I like doing podcasts and things like that, so...
But Charlie, do you like that Ed's doing TV now because it's like a world that you know so well?
I'm just, honestly, like I kind of said, if it makes you happy...
Good.
Mm. I think because I think with the schedule as relentless as I think all of you probably go through, the minute it starts being a chore, it's the minute it's not going to work anymore.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty zen. Just do the good stuff.
And what is it like having a partner like who's especially now because you're like big old star these days, aren't you?
Yeah. Yes. Yes,
being
I am.
So correct. Visible. No, but you are. What's that like for you and your side of things? So.
I mean, I'm just cracking on doing my bits and bobs. Sometimes I think there's like I think the parasocial thing, which I guess you kind of touched upon, can be a bit jarring for everybody when people feel like they know you already and things like that. And I think sometimes I inherit a little bit of that through talking about, because you talk about me on stage. So sometimes I meet people who reference things and I go, but we didn't speak about that. How do you know that I do that or did that?
Or like our cat's name and stuff like that.
Right.
Sometimes that's a bit. But then again, I'm arguably at fault as well by sitting here right now or having, you know, Instagram or, you know, like existing on the internet. So it's like a weird...
Breathing, generally.
Yeah, but it's just that thing. I think you just do what you want to do and then what happens, happens. But I'm just very happy... Yeah, I'm very happy for you that it's worked. I guess it's an indication that things are going well.
Yeah.
Life is good right now.
Yeah, everybody's doing really well.
Everyone's doing
good
well.
Good job.
Well done, everybody. Well done, everybody. So your book comes out when? October?
October 26th is publication day, yeah.
Are you scared?
Yeah,
I even... No. Not at all.
Really?
Not at all?
Yeah, I've not read it back, so... I can't remember what's in there now.
Not really.
I've read bits, but I'm very happy with it. I think it's funny. So
because I finished doing something and then I've just moved on to the next thing.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So I'm not really thinking about it, and then suddenly it comes out or it's sort of happening. And when I started doing GBM, you know, and I was doing all the press running up to the first series, and I was a judge and stuff, and people were going, "Aren't you nervous?" I was like, "No."
Yeah.
No, not at all. And then the day of it, I suddenly went, "Shit." It's going out.
People are going to see
it.
They filmed it.
I hadn't really thought about that. And I got really nervous about half an hour before it went out.
Yeah.
And I think I got a little bit the same about the book, actually. I was really okay till we got to the Queen Elizabeth Hall and we were at the South Bank because Makita interviewed me on stage at Queen Elizabeth Hall for the launch of it.
So and I started getting
really aggy. I was like, oh, she's nervous.
I was like, what is your issue? I was like, oh, yeah, you're nervous.
Do you sometimes find when you work together that, like, there's not the boundary that would be there with somebody else, so you kind of give a bit more shit or get a bit more shit.
I think she forgets that I know her. She thinks I'm someone that just met her. I'm like, I was there too. Like, you brought me up. I've been here for a while. So I know all her tricks and stuff.
Yeah. That's tricks.
No, but that's why.
She thinks, I'm like some sort of, like,
I know all her mind games.
You do have tricks. You've got tricks.
I've got tricks. Yeah. I've got, no, she's a tricky bitch. No, but it's interesting. The nerve thing is when we are both at our worst. If we're if I'm nervous, I get angry because I don't like being nervous. And I don't like not being prepared or ready or feeling like I'm not going to be at a certain level with something. She's the same. So I can just see it in her, and then I see it in me, and that's just parent-kid
stuff.
I don't
think I get aggy. I think I get focused.
No.
I would call it focused.
No. That's very sweet,
excuse me,
but no.
Excuse me, I'm speaking to my friend.
Yeah. how long have you been deluded?
Thank you. But we'll see you on the due date, and you tell us how nervous you're feeling that day.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I don't think due date is what we say in publishing.
Due date, that's pregnancy. That's pregnancy. Let us know when you go into labour. Yeah. And we'll be here.
When I birth the book.
Yeah. But what do you do about nerves? When do you get nervous? Like live comedy stand-up?
No, not really anymore. It depends on the gig.
Is it like good, sometimes you get good nerves? Like,
yeah, definitely. It's good to, you need some nerves. If I'm doing new material, I'm like excited to work out how it goes, but
that's
not
good.
not nerves unless it's like a big TV gig, and then I'll get a bit nervous.
Did you get nervous about GBM?
No, because it's the environment of actually filming it is so relaxed, and
it's
everyone's so lovely.
Relaxed. Did you enjoy your dinner?
It was fantastic.
Very much.
Really
it's
delicious.
Really good.
Exactly the sort of thing I like, and
quite rich.
Yeah, good.
Maybe that's what you love best of all.
Yeah, she's like, it's a bit rich. She's about so many things in like, it's a bit rich.
It's really, really
unless
gorgeous.
It's a bowl of cream, and then she'll drink it like a torta. So again, it makes no sense.
Thank you for coming, though.
Oh, thank you for having us. It's a good time.
Your neighbours, so we'll see you.
Neighbours, right?
Yeah.
If the summer comes back,
come to us,
please.
I'll show you my barbecue station.
Yes,
not a euphemism. I'm just absolutely gobsmacked that Charlie just told us where she was going. Where's she going?
No, Mike's off, and we find out that Charlie has got a new hobby, and it's pro wrestling.
We were like, well, at least we got it out of her before she left the house completely. I love Charlie.
I really like her.
I've met Charlie so many times at so many like work things, and we've just never had the opportunity to chat, so it was really nice, actually. They're very sweet. They're very gentle. Like, they check in with each other all the time.
That's what happens when you see two people that have not only gone out for a long time, but gone out from a really young age.
Yes, yeah, because
like,
they grew up together. Yeah.
And you really feel that with them.
Oh, that's what it is, isn't it?
Yeah, they've been together since they were children, taking care of each other.
Mm.
And it was nice to see him as a husband.
Ed is also one of the funniest people on the planet.
Is it terrible? I want to look at him and I want to laugh.
No,
not because I want to laugh at him. He just makes me laugh.
He's just he's always about to say something properly hilarious. That's what it feels like. So it feels really nice to be in their company. You kind of want to be around him and want to be around them. And just there's a warmth to how they are together that's a bit infectious, isn't it? I think it helps that she's a TV producer.
Well, I thought that's funny because I thought that would make her more like, yeah, so he's doing really... I thought she would talk in a more strategic way about it.
No.
She's like, no, just having my husband.
It just means that she's got her head screwed on about it. And I just love that it's not a factor. The factors in their relationship seem to be, to me, food. Which I liked, food and laughing, you know, food and comfort and joy, and that's such a nice thing. I love that his book is still sitting here, Ed Gamble, Glutton.
I'm so proud of him. You know,
I know.
Because as I said, I knew he was writing a book, but I didn't know that it was like finished and out. And I believed him when he said that he's not that nervous. I think he's taking everything kind of just as it comes. He's quite a go with the flow type of guy.
He's quite laid back whilst being quite driven. You know that thing we were talking about how stand-up comedy is a bit scary and all of that stuff? I think it just makes you tough, too. Once you've been up there enough times, like, what did he say, 5 times in a row and you lost, like, you know...
10 grand.
I mean,
once you've come in like that and gone through that, you're kind of, like, ready for anything. This is all just glory days.
This is all just cherries and cakes and toppings and icing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's done his time.
It's flowers time for
Ed. It's flowers. Ed's getting his flowers.
Hold up.
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.